Can I say fuck too?
Yes, you can swear.
Fuck.
Do you want something to drink?
No, can we All right.
Welcome to this episode of Just the Disc. My name is Brian Sauer, and this is my podcast about Blu-rays. I have an incredibly special guest with me tonight. The most special guest. The woman who has definitely put up with a lot with her movie watching husband, and that would be my wife, Lisa. Say hi.
Hi.
So I'm really happy to have her.
Do I get to do a lot of things on command?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
So I've been wanting to have my wife on the show for a long time. I've been wanting to podcast with my wife for a long time because she's been hearing about podcasts for many, 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 many years. So I thought, what would be an appropriate topic or what would be an appropriate movie to discuss with my wife? And this one seemed to be a good fit. And we're going to be talking about the movie The Big Sick.
This was fun.
Wait, we haven't even had sex again yet.
I'm just not that kind of girl. I only have sex once on the first date. I'm just going to call an Uber.
Your driver will be ready as soon as he puts on his pants. Is your bad man?
Watch and learn, bye.
I have to tell you something, babe. I've been dating this girl. She's white.
A white girl?
Hey, you can't look like you and yell white girl.
It's okay. We hate terrorists.
I wonder who that could be.
I'm guessing it's a young, single Pakistani woman.
This is Zubeda.
For your files? Your X-Files? That's your favorite show, huh?
The truth is out there.
Are you judging Pakistan's next top model?
You know how we have arranged marriage in my culture?
Oh my god, I'm so stupid.
Can you imagine a world in which we end up together?
I don't know.
I'm looking for Emily Gardner. She was checked in tonight.
There's an infection. We put her in a medically induced coma.
Coma.
You should call her family.
Thank you, Kamala. We're gonna handle things from here.
I think I'm just gonna wait anyway.
You guys broke up. I'm not sure why you're here.
I'm just gonna stay for a second. Is this seat? Okay. Is that lady still looking at me?
So, 9/11. I've always wanted to have a conversation with people.
You've never talked to people about 9/11?
Do anything? You got any Paula games?
No,
you ever play? You can't rhyme it. You try to find a word that nobody can rhyme.
Okay. And Stonehenge.
Yeah. See, you would win.
Yeah. I think I screwed up with your daughter.
Yeah, you did.
Let me give you some advice, Kamal. Love isn't easy. That's why they call it love.
To get that.
I thought I could just start saying something and something small would come out.
Which is coming to Blu-ray from Lionsgate. My wife and I saw it in the theater on a rare date night or date afternoon, maybe. I don't know. And we both liked it very much. I think you said it was your favorite of the year so far.
So far.
Yeah.
But my recall is poor.
It's funny. She has very good recall, but she says it's poor. So anyway, we saw The Big Sick. We both liked it, and we rewatched it on the Blu-ray, and it was just as charming for me the second time. What did you think the second time?
Agreed.
Yeah. So my wife and I bonded over movies really early, and do you remember what the movie we talked about on our first long phone call was?
Yes, The Village.
Yes, that's right. Do you remember what we said about The Village?
It just
supposed that we liked it and it was underrated, kind of.
Yeah, I can't remember how it came up in conversation. I think I was talking to you about a movie I had just seen, or I'm not sure if it was right around that time, or we were talking about movies that we liked, or to be honest, again, recall issues.
Yeah, no, but we bonded over the fact that we both liked it a lot, and that was before we'd ever met, and I still stand by that. I think I mentioned that on other shows, that The Village is still one of my favorite Shyamalan movies. And I do think that once you get over the initial reveal, which I guess a lot of people found pretty ridiculous. And you come back to it a few more times, I think it gets better. We showed it to our son recently. That was the first time he'd seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, there's a scene in The Big Sick where, I mean, just briefly, I'll run down what the
movie is. There's a closet with the outfits inside of it. No. Wrong movie.
Wrong movie. I'll just run down what The Big Sick is about. I mean, it's basically...
No spoilers.
It's going to be hard. I mean, yeah. I mean, outside of the fact that it's what the movie is about, we'll try not to spoil too much. But the basic story is about Kumail Nanjiani and his now wife, Emily V. Gordon's original sort of courtship and how they met and how they ended up sort of getting together. And the idea is that they met each other and then she got really sick. And, you know, it's something that he and she went through and sort of came out the other side of. It's a really interesting romantic dramedy.
We embellished a lot of it. We kind of dramatized parts of it. We turned up the volume and kind of changed characterizations of people specifically.
Yeah, that was the biggest change, probably.
Yeah, and that was really good for us because we had so many wonderful people kind of helping us. We had Judd Apatow, Barry Mendel, our director, Michael Showalter, and the actors. And so we really took it from being our story, which if you saw that on screen wouldn't be that interesting, to being a story that we all kind of contributed to that wasn't, hopefully, you'll like on screen. We tried hard to let the story kind of dictate what was private. So anything that fell out of the script that was personal, we decided, oh, good, that's ours. That goes back to being ours, and that'll be our private little details that... and there's obviously stuff that not everything can make it in, so there's always stuff, but... we tried not to be precious with that kind of stuff and let the story dictate it.
You're right.
Exactly. Did you really have a 2-day rule?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
No way.
That is true. Yeah, I know. I don't know
it
how she
put like
up... It
feels like the most made up thing, and it is absolutely true, and somehow I put up with it.
How did you put up with it?
I know, it's such a crazy thing.
It must be so worth it.
You are, luckily.
What was the toughest moment to recreate?
Probably the stuff towards, you know, when Emily gets it, in the hospital, the stuff... Where she gets really, really sick when it's been a long time and they haven't been able to figure out, because, you know, going through that was very difficult. And then having to live through that again for this movie was, you know, it's very emotional.
From what I hear, you both have a different relationship with romantic comedies. Kumail, you're a rom-com fanatic, whereas Emily, you resented how rom-coms ruin love lives.
That's true.
So can you talk about your different perspectives and how it was probably instrumental in recreating or rewriting this rom-com genre?
It definitely was helpful. And I do like rom-com. There are a few rom-coms
I like
very
good.
Much. I definitely took the wrong lessons from them as a kid growing up. And so as a woman, I really wanted a rom-com that really took into perspective the woman's point of view and didn't just have her be an instrument for, like, a man needs to grow up and he uses this woman and obviously they're going to fall in love. So I wanted her to really have a lot of agency. That was really important to me. But it did help. I think it definitely helped us both because you had all the tropes and then I had all the ways that I, you know, we both talked about how to subvert those tropes.
Yeah, yeah. I really, you know, I know most rom-coms from, like, the late 80s to the early 2000s, like all of them, the good ones and the bad ones. So I sort of had a sense of, you know, you're able to sit down and be like, which ones do I like and why do I like them and how do we take those parts and put them in our movie and then have the rest of it feel unique and different. So it was very helpful to have both.
You also helped me understand why rom-coms, there are parts of rom-coms that are really lovely and romantic.
Yeah.
You really helped me with that.
What's your favorite line from your favorite rom-com?
Oh, I know what it is.
What is it?
Is it raining?
I hadn't noticed.
From Four Weddings and a Funeral, yes. That's probably his.
You know, a lot of people said the Notting Hill one, too. That's a good
that's
one.
That's true. I also
the girl
like...
standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
That's a good one. And then from Say Anything, I gave her my heart and she gave me a pen. That's a really
yeah,
great line.
Yeah, that's a really good
yeah.
line.
Now I see all the Hugh Grant references in the movie.
Yeah. He's really into Hugh Grant.
Yep. I gotta get that hair back.
But anyway, there's a lot of funny stuff in it because Kumail's very funny and... Zoe Kazan, who plays the Emily role, is also really funny, I thought. But there's a scene early in the movie where Kumail wants to show Emily one of his favorite... Why are you smiling? Right?
No, I'm smiling because I recall that scene.
Yeah. He wants to show her one of his favorite movies, I guess. And I was listening to the commentary, and I guess Kumail and Emily, actually, that was the first movie they ever watched. It's The Abominable Dr. Fives with Vincent Price.
Good evening, Dr. Vesalius.
I have
have come for my son.
He will die at midnight.
If you must take a life, take mine.
I will have killed 9 times in my life, Dr. Vesalius. How many murders can be attributed to you?
None. I did not kill your wife.
No?
I tried to save her.
With a knife in your hand, Doctor, I have no faith in your profession. I was told after my crash that I would never speak again. The doctors were, of course, wrong. For as you see and can hear, I have used my knowledge of music and acoustics to recreate my voice.
You don't have to remind me of your ingenuity, Dr. Fibes. Where is my son?
But I wanted to know, and he puts he puts on the movie, and then he proceeds to watch her watch the movie. And I was just wondering if you have any idea what that kind of experience is like.
Well, I love how she says, I love when guys test my taste. And it's funny because lots of times I feel like you've done that to me. And so it was very relatable.
Well, I mean, you've obviously passed the test because we've been together. Can you tell the folks how long we've been together?
Since 2005, July.
Yeah. So that's a long time. That's a lot of movies under the bridge watched. Do you remember what the first movie we watched was? I get them confused. There's one of two that I...
Miracle Mile?
Was it the first?
I feel like it was Miracle Mile
or After Hours was... I think it was Miracle Mile.
Yeah, I think it was Miracle Mile. After Hours was a little bit later because I probably wouldn't have dated you if it were Hours first. No, just kidding.
Are you all right?
Well, yes. You said 2 minutes, though.
I know. I'm sorry.
Did you miss me?
Like, I've never missed anyone in my whole life is how much I missed you.
Really?
I can't believe how much I missed you. I really did miss you.
Very sweet. I'm going to give you a present.
Don't do that. That's really not necessary at all. I mean, I've only known you, what? An hour?
No. You said that you were going to come back, and you did. In these days, that is something to be commended and rewarded. Do you know what this is?
No.
This is a Plaster of Paris bagel and cream cheese paperweight.
You liked After Hours.
I don't love that movie as much as you do, but it's fine.
Blasphemy. Anyway, the idea of testing your significant other's taste is something I can relate to. But anyway, so you like this movie. What are some things you liked about it?
Well, it's very endearing. It's very sweet. The characters are charming in their own way. The characters have issues. But you've heard me talk about this a lot, and I always go back to my first viewing of 1 Hour Photo with Robin Williams.
Just dropping off some film. Just a customer. I can still shop here, can I, Bill?
No, Si, you can't still shop here.
No, I believe I can, Bill. Shh. There's no law that says I can't shop here just because I was fired.
I checked it out. Si, there's 1,000 other places you could do your photos. There's no reason to come all the way down here other than to fuck with me.
It's a very good reason. I calibrated that machine personally. It's the best mini lab in the state.
And for some odd reason, I feel like that was the beginning of what I started noticing characters in movies that were very flawed and no one in the movie was relatable for me. And I felt like in The Big Sick, that wasn't true. I felt like all the characters are very relatable and I can connect more with these kind of characters versus certain kind of characters where it's really hard to buy into feeling like you can be them. I know that may sound strange, but like I have to feel like I'm a character in the movie and that I can, you know, empathize with them. And I definitely can empathize with actually every single character in The Big Sick. So
yeah, we should mention that obviously Camille and Zoe Kazan are the main couple, but two other major players and a big part of the reason this movie is so good is that Emily's parents, Zoe Kazan's parents, are played by Holly Hunter and Ray Romano. And they are dynamite.
Here's a joke.
No, Terry, don't. Terry's about as funny as a fart at a funeral.
No, this is funny. This is a funny one. A giraffe walks into a bar and he says to the bartender, "Highball's on me." You get it, right?
Oh, that was the end of the joke?
Yeah, of course.
That was the whole joke.
That's the joke. That's the beauty of it. Boom.
I thought there was more.
But you get it. He's a giraffe. He's tall. So it would stand to reason his testicles are high. And a highball is a drink. And you ruined it by saying I wasn't funny first. That's what it was.
They are a fantastic couple. And it's funny to watch a movie like this and to be able to relate to kind
of the old people too.
Yeah, but the young and the old people. Because we have a son who's going to college and we have an 8-year-old. So it's not outside of our wheelhouse to think about and sympathize with how we might feel if one of our kids got really sick, you know, and how awkward that would be to be dealing with. I mean, again, basically, not to spoil too much, but the Emily-Camille relationship is not in the best possible place in the movie when she gets sick. So there's an awkwardness between the parents and Camille that has to sort of be overcome. But they're just so damn likable. I mean, they're just so good together. I'd kind of forgotten. I guess I just haven't seen Ray Romano in enough quote-unquote traumatic roles. But Holly Hunter, I just hadn't seen in a movie in a little while. And she's just, I mean,
She was great. I really liked her character a lot.
Yeah, she's definitely one of my favorites in the movie, for sure. Do you feel like a mom like her? Are you in that kind of sassy vein?
She's a little sassy. She's a little sassy. I don't know. I think it's a different experience because I've never had to deal with, I mean, I guess our son has a girlfriend, but it's a little different level versus, you know, being away and having them have a girlfriend that you know or don't know about or have met or haven't met. It's a different kind of experience. So I don't think I could talk about that there, like from personal experience, but I like how she interacts and I just like her arc and how she comes into knowing his character.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot too. I think the things that make this movie unique are, well, A, Camille and Emily are interesting characters, but the backgrounds, like Camille is basically playing himself and he's sort of a stand-up comic working his way up, so to speak. And so you've got the milieu of the comedy clubs.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. My name's Camille.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we saw you perform.
Now that the niceties are out of the way, I have to tell you that when you yelled at me, it really threw me off, and you really shouldn't heckle comedians. It's so rude.
I didn't heckle you. I just woohooed you. It was supportive.
Okay, that's a common misconception. Uh-huh. But yelling anything at a comedian is considered heckling. Heckling doesn't have to be negative.
So if I yelled out, like, you're amazing in bed, that'd be a heckle?
Yeah. Will be an accurate heckle.
Cool.
No. Goodbye.
Oh. Now you can.
I'm going.
You scared my friend off now.
There's a lot of interactions in the like back rooms of the comedy clubs that are pretty funny. They've got some great.
What? But the biggest thing is that he's Pakistani.
Yeah, and that's
that
the other
he's
part.
He's Muslim, and that is a big part of the whole movie.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's a sense of. And this is also based on the truth, and that he.
And I think right here you should play some X-Files music.
That is a joke that will have been heard in the trailer. But yeah, the X-Files does come up. But anyway, yeah. So the big things that make the movie unique are the sickness, the comedy club stuff, and the sort of Pakistani family,
the cultural background,
the cultural
uh-huh.
stuff. I found myself slightly less engaged with the cultural stuff this time around. It's not like it feels forced, but it's obviously a real part of his life and a real problem that they had, but for mm-hmm. some reason that stuff feels more like contrived in some way, but it's mm-hmm. not. Obviously it's real. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but that's the stuff I'm slightly less interested in.
Cut this part if this is going to ruin it too much, but like the idea of how he has to explain to her that how she doesn't understand his perspective, you know, and how that's difficult because if that's not something you can even imagine, you know what I mean? If you're from this culture, imagining any culture, not just Pakistani culture, not just Muslim culture, but like other things outside of your norm, I think it's hard to even wrap your head around that. So
it's very easy when you're in one culture to just sort of see the world through that lens.
Yes.
And so for Emily, realizing that it was like very complicated was, I think, that was a challenge. And also for me, seeing the relationship you have with your parents is so different from
relationship that I have with my parents and seeing that that's valid. Like, you guys are like kind of like friends, which I thought was weird. You guys talk about sex and say and stuff. And I thought that was weird. But then now I like it. But in the beginning, I was like, why is it like this?
It is true that when we first started dating, I kept being like, just tell them that you're not going to marry someone they pick for you. Just be a man. Like, stand up.
Love conquers all.
Yeah. And it's such an American, like, rebellious teenager. Like, just be yourself. They have to deal with it. And I think over time, I started to see the complexities of, it's a level of respect for your family to kind of go along with this odd charade, even though it feels like the truth might be more good overall. It actually isn't in a lot of...
It isn't always good.
It isn't always good. The truth isn't always the goal. The goal is that everybody is respectful of each other's choices in the best way that they know how to be. And so that can mean different things. That can be completely open and honest, like how I am with my family, sometimes to their chagrin. And it can be the way that you are with your family, which is that everybody...
Full of lies.
I'm going to say something nicer. Everyone keeps a respectful distance of each other's lives and does their best to kind of be respectful of what the other person wants from them. And that's both for you and your parents. You're very respectful of what they want from you, and they're very respectful of what you need from them and the kind of person that you are.
I thought that was pretty... That caught my attention. I'm just from my own experiences and also from my interests in life. I think that was a big buy-in for me, but I understand how maybe for you, not so much.
I don't know. It definitely will be for most people, I think, a big buy-in. But just, again, watching it the second time, my favorite things are the fact that he's a stand-up comic, the fact that the part of the story is that she gets sick and he's stuck with her parents, and the fact that her parents, that whole business of him getting to know her parents while she's in a coma, basically. So yeah, there's just, I don't know. I definitely think it's one of my favorite. I think I know you disagree with this. I like Baby Driver a little bit more, although this movie emotionally is 100 and character-wise is 100% more real and much easier to connect to on a personal level than Baby Driver, but I'm just a sucker for
I like Baby tricks. Driver, but it was more a stylized movie. It was more, it's more something where you have to not suspend disbelief so much, but it's a more extreme sort of origin or beginning of how that occurs versus this is more
grounded.
Yeah, sure, that works.
Yeah, no, it's like a really good movie. Is there any, like, I was thinking if you were going to pair this with another movie, like, I really like the idea of pairing it with that movie What If that we watched a couple of years ago now, maybe.
I just had sex. I'm about to eat nachos. It's the greatest moment of my life.
Oh, did you guys meet? Wallace,
hi.
This is my cousin Chantry.
Thank you for being so gracious in victory.
I'm gonna give you my number. We should hang out.
Yeah.
My boyfriend will be worried about what happened to me. So, friends?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Friends. Is this always how you make friends? Like, it's a business deal?
Yeah, actually, it's just my style.
Okay, it's quite unnerving, but it's good. In fairy tales, love inspires you to be noble and courageous, but in real life, love is just an all-purpose excuse for selfish behavior.
I don't know if you are actually cynical or just a super crazy romantic cheeseball.
So, Wallace, we should talk about the complex issues of our time. Can men and women really be friends, or do you secretly want to bang Chantry?
She has a boyfriend.
Ben, Wallace is here.
Hi.
Thanks for coming by. Are you trying to sleep with my girlfriend?
Oh, no, God, I wouldn't.
Don't worry, we're just talking guy.
Okay. You can't interact with a woman without sex screwing it up, but I can because I'm a grown-up.
And it's so adorable that you really believe that.
I don't know. It's got Zoe Kazan and Daniel Radcliffe, and it's very much like I saw it as sort of like a modern-day, younger and, forgive me, fans of the movie, but better When Harry Met Sally kind of story. And slightly Annie Hall-ish, a little bit. Just basically about two people.
I thought, I knew you were going to bring in Annie Hall in that. But
how do you not see When Harry Met Sally and What If? It's totally like...
Are they friends at
all?
Yeah,
they're totally...
I don't really...
Yeah, yeah.
Again, recall.
Yeah, they're basically... Daniel Radcliffe and Zoe Kazan play like friends, but he's really got a thing for her, and it's, it becomes to a head at a certain point. But there's a lot of... I just thought it was incredibly funny, and I love I don't know if you remember, but Adam Driver, but well before Star Wars, is playing, and before Girls, I think, is playing Daniel Radcliffe's best friend, and the two of them are very funny together, and There's a running joke about like a sandwich that Elvis ate. I remember like some really gross peanut butter and something sandwich that comes up a couple times in the movie. But anyway, it's a really adorable movie. I think you liked it. So.
No, I did like it, but I think I'm conflating it with that other one we saw with Zoe Kazan. With
Ruby
the typewriter.
Sparks.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're not writing?
I don't know. I get a good idea, and then, bam, I start thinking that is the stupidest thing ever.
Tell me about it.
Ruby Sparks, 26 years old, raised in Dayton, Ohio.
Why Dayton?
Sounds romantic. Ruby got kicked out of high school for sleeping with her art teacher, or maybe her Spanish teacher. I haven't decided yet.
I'm glad you found something that inspires you.
Inspires me? It's like I'm falling in love with her.
That's wonderful.
I can't fall in love with a girl I write.
Why not?
Because she's not real.
I missed you in bed last night. Did you get some good writing done?
Calvin, are you mad at me?
Remember how Dad used to say I had an overactive imagination?
That's good.
Calvin,
but there's no possible way that Ruby's in your house because she's not a real person.
Can you see her?
Calvin!
She's real. Ruby!
What is going on with you?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Kiss me, stupid.
There's got to be some logical explanation.
People don't appear out of thin air.
She did.
How?
I don't know how. It's love. It's magic.
And so because of that, we saw those movies really close together for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of merging the two, so I can't remember what is what, which yeah. is
so
a bad
Ruby
thing.
Sparks, for people that don't know that one, is basically...
Also a good movie.
Yeah,
I like really that. Like Zoe Kazan. All the movies that I've seen her in so far, I think she's a great actress. So
yeah, she reminds me a little bit of Zooey Deschanel for some reason. Not in look, but just in sort of that pixie, manic pixie dream girl vibe.
Yeah. I know it sounds kind of funny, but I think I like Zoe Kazan better. I know people may really have a thing for Zooey Deschanel, but maybe I'm just over her, or maybe...
Too much of that show, her sitcom.
New Girl.
New Girl, yeah. Sorry. We used to
I like that show. I don't know what it is.
No,
I think I just like the characters that Zoe has had.
I was just going to say, for those, I forgot who the other star of Ruby Sparks was, and it's Paul Dano plays like a writer who writes a character named Ruby Sparks that comes to life, and she will kind of do whatever he says, and it becomes a whole thing, like, of how their relationship works. What would it be like to have that kind of scenario, and
philosophical.
Yeah, it's philosophical, and it's good. I mean, so that would be your pairing, would be Ruby Sparks, or were you just thinking that's...
No, I was just thinking that's why I get those two movies confused. I'm not a big pairmaster. I'm not sure.
No, but just instinctually, what are some of your other favorite romantic films that maybe you would pair with this if you wanted?
I love lots of romantic films, but I can't think of any right now.
Let me just go through the Blu-ray stuff real quick so we can close this out. So the special features on this Blu-ray are as follows. There is a cast and filmmaker commentary with producer Barry Mendel, Kumail, and his real-life wife, Emily, and the director, Michael Showalter, who, of course, people will know from Wet Hot American Summer and The State and Stella. You know, he's part of that whole troupe. And he was, I think, a really good choice, by the way, to direct this movie. I thought that was kind of neat. And it was produced by Judd Apatow, which...
Judd, obviously someone who I really love his work and I respect it. And these are the kinds of stories I think he specializes in.
I liked it because it's true and it's heartfelt. I like the many levels of it. Some of it is about relationships, some of it is about family and religion and responsibility. And it's also really funny. And it's about the comedy world.
I don't know if you felt that influence at all, but...
A little bit, but with that being said, this is one of my more favorites. I feel like...
That's what I think we said afterwards. This is maybe our favorite Apatow-produced movie.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of one that I like more than this.
Because I feel like this is more...
I think we've seen pretty much all of them.
Yeah, and I feel like this is more real. Like, I feel like some of the other ones are a little more outrageous. They have a certain element that's a little outrageous, you know?
Yeah.
Like Gem. And but The Big Sick feels... I mean, obviously, it's based on a true story, so maybe that's part of why it's more realistic.
Yeah, it's much more... Well, I mean, definitely, I think the Apatow school of filmmaking is about bringing personal things into a movie. You know, personal stories and little bits of real life. And I think that's part of what mm-hmm. people respond to. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that they do, obviously, maybe too much, is allow for sort of comedic improvisation in a lot of moments. I think I'm kind of, I don't want to say I'm over that, because I definitely am always amused by that, but I found that this story being grounded like it was allowed for those comedic moments to feel less forced or stand yeah. out less. Yeah.
I think this was more dramatic than all the other ones that I can think of.
Yeah, it's very emotional.
Very
movie.
Touching, you know? Yeah.
No, I think I got a little weepy.
I think we both cried the first time we saw it. Maybe more than one time. Especially, but the second watching, I don't think I cried. I felt it, but I didn't have the same response. Like, there's some movies where no matter how many times I see them, every time I'll cry, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the last scene really got me the first time we saw it.
And you got to watch all the credits, because that's a good part too, when you watch the credits of the movie as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, but the last scene of this movie really got me, and the last line of this movie I still think is one of my favorite last lines in recent memory. And it's not like it's totally outside the realm of what somebody would say or totally surprising, but it's just like perfect for me. That last line is just perfect. So the movie ends really well in a way that I found really moving. But yeah, the whole story is just so nice, and it's so neat to see the two of them together. There's this great thing that I should show you. I don't think you got to see this, but when they're telling the real story of the movie, there's like that's actually one of the special features. It is a personal journey, the making of The Big Sick. It's like a 15-minute feature.
I saw that.
That's the making features. Of is different than the one I'm thinking of. The one I'm thinking of is called The Real Story. I think you did maybe
yeah,
see
Yeah, I did
this.
See
okay.
that.
So,
yeah.
There's two, so there's a great scene where they're talking about what really happened, and there's a great anecdote about how Emily says there was a point where, I think when she was getting sick, she like had this really horrible cough. Fit.
Oh, I remember right. And she tells him, like, he's on the phone with his parents.
His mom or something.
Yeah, yeah. And he's telling her to be quiet. And she's like, and he goes, on my, you know, behalf, I didn't know she was going to end up in a coma.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it was very funny. He's like, in retrospect, I sound like kind of a dick there, and
because
she
time,
was saying
you know?
Like, you know, at that moment, Emily was saying like, "What am I doing? This is crazy." But it was about the fact that he hadn't told his parents about it, which is something that comes up in the movie. Is he is waiting to tell them or unsure about telling them because they really want him to marry a Pakistani girl, but. Anyway, so that's a really neat thing to watch them talk about the real story. And then there's a scene that I don't know if you remember, but there's a scene where they're actually behind the scenes, they're on set.
Yeah.
And it's just like this moment where Kumail is sitting in a chair. I think it's in the apartment set. And they're having some kind of discussion. She's crouched down next to him. And he says something, and then she like, I think he's getting worked up about something, like emotional or not upset, but I can't tell because I can't see his face. But she calms him in this way that is really touching. It's like a moment of like, oh, those two people really care about each other, like really care about each other. You can't hear what they're saying or anything, but it's just the face that she makes and the way that she looks at him. And this sort of calming motion she makes with her hands. It's just like, oh, wow, that's so neat. They obviously really do love each other, you know, that kind of.
I don't know if I saw that.
It was all part of that, but it was just a quick shot. I think I'm just used to looking at B-roll because of some work-related stuff. So anyway, so that's a neat little 7-minute thing of them just telling the real story of what happened and what they, at least some of the things about that they changed. And the other thing that's really needed, that commentary, they sort of talk about some of the things that they did to, you know, increase the drama. You know, I'm forgetting now some of the stuff they said, but there's definitely some stuff that they amped up or changed slightly to sort of make it more like a movie, I guess. But so anyway, so you got the commentary, you've got a making of 15 minutes. That's so funny.
Nothing. I was just laughing at a weird pairing that I thought of, but it's
go ahead. Totally.
Now I was just thinking of Natural Born Killers.
A lot of people walking around out there already dead, just need to be put out of their misery. That's where I come in, fate's messenger. Except a corn of wheat falleth to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Oh, the theory that everyone meets a serial killer halfway thing. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the wolf don't know why he's a wolf. The deer don't know why he's a deer. God just made it that way.
Because it's like sort of like this complete opposite in a weird way, but like how they have this certain kind of bond, but I don't know why that came into my head.
No,
so
that's an interesting.
That.
That's like a Pure Cinema kind of pairing. That's like something we would do on Pure Cinema.
I don't listen to that podcast. What's that?
You don't have to tell people you don't listen to my show. That's okay. Thanks. Okay. So anyway, there's something called the Big Sick, the Other Stuff, which is 3 minutes and 47 seconds. It's kind of like alternate takes. There's a 2017 South by Southwest Film Festival panel that's 12 minutes. That's from Austin, Texas, March of 2017, and it features Kumail, Emily, Judd Apatow, and Barry Mendel as they answer questions. They talk about developing the script, Kumail's Muslim identity, blurring the line between reality and fiction, and so forth.
Did you tell about the comedy stand-up thing that they did?
Yeah, that's next, actually. Oh.
I didn't get paid to do that.
So this next part is that she mentioned is called, sorry, The Bigger Sick, Stick Around for More Laughs. And it's 10 minutes, and it is a featurette about the stand-up comedy tour that was done to promote the film. So that is featuring Emily, Kumail, Judd Apatow, Ray Romano, and others doing, they're shown doing stand-up. And we see sort of behind the scenes on the whole process, the tour itself. I think that's a neat idea. I'm sure it's probably been done before because so many of these movies that Apatow produces are with stand-up comics. So you could easily do this kind of a tour. But there's some funny bits. Like you see a couple of Ray Romano's jokes. And I still think Ray Romano is actually one of my favorite stand-up comics. Like I remember seeing him on Dr. Katz. And he had, this is, I never told you this story, but he had this great bit where he was playing a character that was talking about, I think he was talking about like how he was emasculated by his inability to like take care of things around the house, like household pests.
Hello.
Hello, Ray. I remember when we stopped last week, you were telling me about the roles that you play in your household.
Yeah.
You were the noise checker, is that right?
Noise checker and bug killer.
Well, you got promoted.
I don't know why women think men like bugs. I'm squeamish. The other day, my wife screamed, and I ran up to the bathroom, and this thing frightened me. I've never seen a bug that large. It was gross. But we had a huge bug. It had graffiti on it. It was one of those rare bugs, and she's hysterical. You kill it. Don't look at it. You kill. And I don't care how brave you are. You don't just rush in and kill a bug like that. You got to plan it all out. You got to look, oh, hey, look at, what if I swing and miss, huh? I don't know if he has the gift of flight, for one thing. And then she told me, spray it. Most women think any aerosol can kill a bug. Hairspray, deodorant, she's telling me. I've killed bugs with deodorant. Yeah, so I'm trying to kill a monster with deodorant. And all I could find was the roll-on. No, this crap ain't working. He likes it. He likes this. Look at him. Oh, he wants his tummy done. Beautiful. It's not working, honey. He shouldn't be purring.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. We're going to have to stop. So you got the bug, right?
Yeah.
What's that thing crawling up your leg?
Oh.
So that, and then there's 8 deleted scenes, which, yeah, there's a couple good ones in there that I want to show you.
Hmm,
I think you'd like. There's a lot of stuff that they, with as you would expect from this kind of movie, where they sort of pulled things back. So anyway, all in all, really good movie. I think we'd both recommend it. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Big recommend. Definitely one of our favorites of the year. And my wife and I see, not as much as we used to before we had the kids. No. We used to see
movies. And not as many as in the theater. And of course, it gives you a different experience. But even, like we said, in the theater and at home, it was still good.
Yeah.
You know, we still enjoyed it.
Yeah, the second time. And the other thing that we don't do is watch a movie
that close again.
Yeah, because we just saw it in the theater. I mean, obviously, stuff comes to Blu-ray and video on demand.
Much quicker these days.
Yeah, so you can see things a lot quicker between viewings, I mean.
And I'm not usually a big fan of doing that.
No, I'm not either. But I just thought it would be a good idea to rewatch.
Well, like I said, you know, I really did enjoy this film. And I've seen some movies lately that I didn't enjoy as much.
Okay.
Well, inside joke.
Yeah, we may talk about that, actually, but not now. okay. So anyway, high recommend from both of us for The Big Sick. Go pick it up and check out these special features, but definitely one of the more well-roundedly good movies of the year. Just all around good. Funny, emotional, good acting, you know, just an original premise that I haven't seen before because it's based on a real thing, basically. So go check it out. So that will do it for this episode. Please have a lovely and Blu-ray filled week, and I will talk to you very, very soon. Lisa, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks to my wife for coming on the show. Bye.
Sad clown, oh, 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 my God.
What's that? Back to the back of the